This has been quite a week, hasn't it? Last weekend, how many of you were here? Yeah, just most of us were here last weekend for Reverend Nancy Wirth, who came and blessed us as our ministerial candidate. And last Sunday was, for me, absolutely awesome. It was inspiring. The place was full. Lots of good energy. Thursday, World Day of Prayer. Unity's World Day of Prayer, the 17th annual World Day of Prayer. The prayer chaplains and I hosted a beautiful prayer service. At least in my opinion, it was beautiful. Here in the sanctuary, where we held lovingly in prayer all the names that we had gathered here. So thank you to all of you who filled out the special World Day of Prayer prayer requests. We had a beautiful gathering as we united in prayer with thousands of people around the world in Unity churches and at Silent Unity. And then yesterday was also a significant day, the 9th anniversary of September 11th. And I know for many of us, it calls forth memories. For many of us, it was a very intense, difficult day back 9 years ago. And on the anniversary, it's our opportunity to hold lovingly in our heart all those who died, both the innocent victims as well as the perpetrators, and all the families that were affected. And really, we were all affected in collective consciousness by that experience. So I just wanted to acknowledge that today I'm going to talk about the divine urge and about the fact that we talk about it all the time. God is everywhere present. God is all there is. And we know for a fact that God was present that day, and there's so many amazing stories, miracles, so many miracles that happened on that day. So, just wanted to acknowledge that. So today, I'm going to begin with a quote by Thomas Kelly, who was a Quaker philosopher. He said, "Deep within us all, there is an amazing inner sanctuary, a holy place, a divine center, a speaking voice to which we may continually return. Deep within us all, there is an astounding destiny calling us home to itself to be awakened. Deep within each and every one of us, there is a presence, a power, a wisdom, an understanding that we can always access. And so I invite you today to ask the question, how do I listen to God? How am I receptive and open to that divine urge, to the purpose that I am called to? Perhaps it's a divine assignment. Sometimes I like to call it that. Each and every one of us is called to serve in some way. And it's, all those callings are unique. Within each and every one of us, there is that divine urge, that urge that calls us forward. And one of my friends a long time ago said to me, "Christina, you're on the accelerated path." And I kind of went, "Oh, I know. I know." Because, you know, once you start on the path, you can't turn back. Have you ever tried to? You know, Reverend Nancy called it snoozing. You know, you can choose to snooze. She said that last week. Or you can choose to be open. You can choose to allow the spirit of truth within you to express and to guide you. And so today, I want to invite you into remembering that. And I'm going to be talking a little bit about our prayer chaplain program, because next week we have a very special dedication that we will be doing in the service. Because we have 3 new prayer chaplains, now we have 8 prayer chaplains, so we've almost doubled. I exaggerate a little bit. We've almost doubled our prayer chaplains. But we are strengthening the program, so I'll tell you more about that a little later. But in the meantime, really the question today is, how do I listen? How and when do I hear the divine urge within me calling me forward? It's tough leading a spiritual life. There's no question about it. Because once we understand the truth and understand our responsibility in practicing that truth, that's where the rubber meets the road. That's where often we get tripped up. Because, you know, we come to church and it's really great and we see our friends and we get inspired and we love the music and we go home with something and then we just go back to daily life and do the same things over and over again. So in order for us to really be called to a higher place, we have to listen and practice. So I have a little story I want to tell you. It's called It's Tough Leading a Spiritual Life. It goes like this. I was having an out-of-body experience one day. So I grounded myself and got centered with the help of my spirit guides and almost astral traveled anyway. But the phone rang. I sensed the negative vibrations. So I threw the I Ching and checked my numerology chart and nearly had a primal. But my energy was too blocked. So I did some bioenergetics and self-parenting, took some flower essence and ate an organic oak bran ginseng muffin. But my inner child wasn't feeling nurtured yet. So I had a rice cream frozen pie also. But that made me hyper. So I did the relaxation response while listening to my subliminal tapes. But I was still feeling depersonalized. So I did some polarity work, foot reflexology, and past life regression. Then I rebirthed myself and called Moonbeam, my body worker. But she flaked out and never returned my call. So I went to my personal shaman, but they were no help. So instead, I went to the intensive Whole Life Earth Rebirth Cosmic Expo Symposium workshop to find somebody who really knew what was going on with me. Yeah. Now, you know, I don't mean to laugh at those tools, because tools are helpful. But what I mean to emphasize with that very funny, and I'm sure in some cases that's probably happened, something pretty close to, maybe some of us might know someone like that, perhaps. We must look within for the answers, not look without. And so when we give our power away to outer anythings, outer teachers, outer techniques, then we are running into a fuzzy, dangerous area, I believe, because the answers are within us. And when we can learn to listen, to open ourselves and to be receptive and to hear the guidance that only we can hear, only we can receive, then we can truly move forward. The divine urge was described by David Owen Ritz, who is the teacher who created the Keys to the Kingdom. Anybody in here taken that class? I think a few of you have, yeah. So he's just a wonderful teacher for me. He said, everything in the universe is engaged in a continual process of evolution to a higher state of being. There is a universal imperative, the divine urge to grow. It is a desire to be more, not just to have more. It's not about doing or having. It's about being. How can I be more of that which God desires me to be? How can I call forth from my relationships, within my family, within my work, my activities, within my life, whatever that is, how can I be more of what is divine within me? And that is our question today. Our desire to be more creative, more whole, more loving, more conscious of our spiritual nature. Because, you know, we say all the time, we're spiritual beings having a human experience. Didn't Nancy say that last week? I think she did. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. We live in a body. That's the human part. We live on earth. It's the material world. The world of sense, as Charles Fillmore called it. Whereas we have a spiritual nature. So how are you nurturing? How are you accessing? How are you allowing yourself to be guided by your spiritual nature? That is what I think is so beautiful about the spiritual path. Henry Beecher said this, God's grace is the oil that fills the lamp of love. God's grace. Is your lamp full? Is your lamp empty? How much grace, how much spirit, how much of your spiritual nature are you expressing? You know, one of the beautiful parts and one of the really, I guess I want to say fun, but definitely honoring parts of being a minister is you get to go to ministerial school. I don't know how much Reverend John, who was here before, talked about ministerial school, but it's quite an experience. And one of the things that we did was we looked at our lives. And we looked at the spiritual lessons within our lives. You know, all the way from when we were kids through current day. And we asked the question, when have I had spiritual awakenings? When have I heard God, or whatever you want to call it, so strongly? I couldn't ignore it. And one of the discoveries that I had was that when I was a teenager, and I went to a school called Northfield Mount Hermon in Massachusetts, and this was a school that had just a very beautiful campus. It was in New England in Massachusetts, as I said. It was in the fall, about this time of year. And I was just walking around the campus, and I was feeling pretty down. You know, my parents were divorced, and, you know, I was a teenager. I had teenager angst, right? I had a lot of problems, big problems in my life. Right, so I thought. So I just walked into the chapel, the Dwight L. Moody Chapel at Mount Hermon. And I went in there. I just was, you know, kind of called to walk in there, and it was empty. There was nobody in this beautiful little chapel. Well, it wasn't that little. Actually, it's probably bigger than this. But it was a traditional chapel. I walked in, and I just sat down in one of the pews. They just had wooden pews there. And after a few moments, I started to become aware that I could feel something. I could feel something, some presence. There was such a peace in that sanctuary. And I started to get like goosebumps. I call them God shivers now. God shivers. I could feel the presence. And then this music started playing. I didn't realize another student was in there practicing on the organ. So empty, which is, again, an empty sanctuary, and this organ is playing The Lighter Shade of Pale by Procol Harum. Some of you know that song. If you're, you know, of that era, or perhaps you've heard it. It's sort of a dirge. It's a very soulful song. I just love that song. And I just really had a spiritual awakening in that moment. It was the first time in my life I really experienced God clearly, palpably. I was just like, wow, except I didn't have a name for it. I didn't call it God. I just called it something incredible, something incredible. So I think back, and I was like probably like 16 or something, I guess, that at that point. And it was still quite a time before I would really be intentionally on the journey, the spiritual path, that is. And so fast forward to 1998, and I had been working at Macaw Cellular. I think I shared that in my last talk, a little bit about my work there. I worked at Macaw. I'd been there 11 years. I had loved my job for 10 and a half years, but I was burned out. You know how that is? You know, something that really serves you well for a period of time, and then you get to a point where it's not serving you anymore. So you're called to change. So being a good Unity Truth student at the time, it was before I went to ministerial school, I went to Unity Village and immersed myself in the teachings of Charles and Myrtle Fillmore. prayed a lot, just felt that beautiful God energy that you feel at the village. And I created an affirmation that I started using. And the affirmation was that I bless everything about my current situation. I bless my boss, who I wasn't really getting along with too well. I bless the company that I was, you know, I had a long list of things I thought they should change. I blessed it and let it go. I bless everything, my office, my staff, even my commute. I mean, it was a stretch, but I even blessed my commute. Everything that I would grumble about the job, I blessed. And I also affirmed that this situation, this experience, is a stepping stone to my greater good. I don't know what my greater good is. I thought, well, my greater good is I'm going to get a job in a nonprofit, and then I'm going to, you know, give my notice and go to my new job. Well, a few months went by, and I wasn't really looking for a job. I realized, that's interesting, I said to myself. And I just decided, I reached a point where my guidance was, let it go. Christina, let it go. The financial security of which was a plenty, let me tell you. A great salary, benefits, stock options, bonuses, health care. I mean, you know, just everything. We just had the most amazing package, if you will. I thought, you know what, it's okay. I let it go. I released it and let it go. And I'm going to resign. So I planned to resign on Good Friday. I thought, what better crucifixion than releasing this? I mean, this is a really hard thing to do. Really, really hard for me. So I made the plan, and then 2 weeks before Good Friday, my boss called me into the office and laid me off. It was a miracle. It was. I don't use that word very often. That was a miracle. I just couldn't even say thank you, God, and I couldn't even get out of my mouth. I was so shocked. And they gave me severance pay for 11 months. They gave me all the rest. I mean, it was unbelievable. They gave me bonuses. And I mean, just again, the financial support that I got through that layoff actually allowed me to go to ministerial school. Well, God had a plan, right? I didn't know what it was. And just a side note on that, you know, whenever we pray and whenever we affirm the truth of our being, always add on the end of that prayer, or something better. Because, you know, I never could have even dreamed up what happened. It was so amazing. So again, I felt that I was at that time very attuned to the spirit within me, and I was listening. So are you listening to the spirit within you? As Butterworth says, the universe is calling. That's just another way to say God is calling, spirit within you is calling. Are you listening? Are you listening? I'm really honored to have had the experience over this last month to work with our prayer chaplains here at Unity of Bellevue. We have been going through a lot of training. We did in August, we did a weekend training on Whidbey Island, the chaplains and I. And a lot of that training was prayer, wasn't it, Patty? We prayed a lot. We prayed the whole weekend through. And we learned how to serve with love. You know, the prayer chaplain program, which was developed over 10 years ago by Unity Minister and is now implemented in several hundred churches, Unity churches and religious science churches throughout the country and Canada. And the whole idea is that we train people within our ministry who can hold spiritual space, who can be a presence of truth, who can hold the highest and best for us when we're in pain. You know, when we've lost our job, you know, when we've had a health crisis, when a beloved family member has died, the things that happen in life. So we have gone through this experience of the training. And, you know, there was three brand new chaplains who had never prayed before, prayed out loud for others before. And that's a hard thing to learn. It's very hard to learn. And they, you know, it was a challenge. They had to really stretch. And so one of the things that we brought along was, like, I brought this along.
That was easy.
To remind them and all of us that when we let go and let God, things flow through us. You know, we're able to really kind of transcend the fear. We're able to navigate through the detours of life. We're able to climb that mountain that might seem unclimbable with that presence, with that guidance. So we learn to hold spiritual space just to be a presence of spirit, just to be in that consciousness. We learned to listen lovingly, to listen with our heart. You know, so much of what we do in this world is in our heads, isn't it? You know, we kind of walk around thinking, planning, doing. I mean, I'm a doer. I'm big on the to-do list. You know, and Leilani Burt, the minister, said, you just need, it's only 18 inches. Move from your head to your heart. It's only 18 inches. Move your awareness from your head into your heart so that you can listen from your heart. You can really just listen. No attachment, no judgment, no autobiographical. Do you know what I mean by that? Has anybody ever said something to you? Or let's say, have you ever said something to somebody and their first response is, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. I go through the same thing. And then they launch into their story. That's autobiographical. Do you feel listened to? Usually not. Listening is just being open and truly just standing in the presence. So, listen lovingly, pray from the heart. We practice praying. And one of the things that I said, and I always say to people who are learning to pray, it's not about the words. You know, we focus on the words so much. We want to make sure they're affirmative. We want to make sure all the pieces are there. But really, what is most important is our presence, is how we show up. Do you know what I mean by that? It's our consciousness. It's our openness. It's our positive energy. It's our inner peace. It's the way that we are grounded in spirit. So that's what's most important. Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart. How many of you have heard those words? Some of you have. This is from a traditional hymn called Here I Am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. That's as far as I go. Here I am, Lord. Here I am, God. Here I am, Spirit. Use me. I love the first song we did. I love all these songs that we do. How can I be used as an instrument? How can I hear and know my calling so I can go forth and be a blessing? And whether or not that's working as a financial planner or caregiver or whatever it is, whatever you do in your work, your activities, how can you allow yourself to be called to a higher place, to follow your intuition? And I want to share with you the words of Myrtle Fillmore, one of our co-founders of Unity. She said this, your intuition is the faculty for knowing, beyond the shadow of a doubt, the truth about God and your oneness with God. Do not try to reason things intellectually. There's your head. That is anything of a spiritual nature, which is most things, but trust the Spirit of Truth to make them clear and plain to you. Have faith in the guiding light of your indwelling spirit. And so I invite you as you go forward to remember that you are sourced, the wisdom, all that you need is within you. And so take the time to listen. Take the time to follow, to be patient. Because sometimes we don't hear anything. A lot of the times, and I'm not talking about hearing words, any messages, any kinds of messages. Could be somebody walking up and telling you a story. It's like, oh, I get it. That's what I'm supposed to do. Could be anything. So as you go forward, remember that it's all about God, that the divine urge to grow and to shine and to be who you are is always at work. And don't try too hard, because
that was easy.
It really is a lot easier than you think. So God bless you, and listen all week long. Thank you.